bienvenidos al Lockdown Podcast Show conmigo, Zoe Gilles.
¿Qué?
Hello and welcome to the Lockdown Podcast Show with me, Zoe Gilles, and my producer,
Vicky Rimmer.
Can you guess what the activity is this week?
Is it learning Spanish?
Not just learning Spanish, but lots of other languages too for when you go on your holidays. This is our last show of the series. We are very lucky to be joined by three very special guests. The writer who has brought to life Enid Blyton's Malory Tales for the BBC, Rachel Flowerday. Grandad, who will be taking the very special Lockdown Podcast quiz. And finally, we are joined by the biggest selling children's author to have started writing since the year 2000. His books have been read in over 53 languages and he sold over 37 million worldwide. He's the best judge on Britain's Got Talent and he's the author of Boy in the Dress, Mr. Stink, Gangster Granny, The World's Worst Children and much more. It's David Williams.
¿Qué idiomas hablas?
When you go on holiday, have you ever wanted to understand what the people around you are saying? Maybe when you go to Spain, France or Finland. Well, we have found an app that is great for learning languages, Duolingo. You can learn Spanish, French, German, Italian, Romanian, Hawaiian and much more. The app is free or you can use their website duolingo.com.
How does it work then?
Well, there are different sections to learn, like intro, phrases, travel.
Yeah.
The app has a green owl on the front, and the link to the website will be in the podcast details.
Oh, I've just had a look and it says you can learn Klingon.
What's Klingon?
I think Klingon's some kind of Star Trek thing. Some of the dads will know.
We hope you have fun with it.
Que te diviertas.
Next up on the show, we are joined by Rachel Flowerday, the writer who has adapted Enid Blyton's Malory Tales for the BBC. She has also written EastEnders and Casualty. Hi and welcome to the show, Rachel.
Hi Zoe, how are you today?
Good, thank you. How long did it take you to write this script for Malory Towers?
Oh, that's a really good question. We started coming up with the whole show about a year before we started shooting, but not all the scripts took that long. So we probably spent 4 or 5 months on the first script.
Yeah.
And then we storylined the rest of the series and the other scripts. I can't remember exactly, but I would say they probably each took about 2 months, but obviously that was overlapping.
What character was the most fun to write?
Oh, I mean, they are all really lovely. I would have to say I've got a bit of a soft spot for writing Gwen.
Mummy said she liked her.
Because she's so... She's very very naughty, very badly behaved, but she's also a little bit broken inside. So you can kind of understand why she does the awful things she does.
Yeah,
that's a real joy to write. And she doesn't always mean what she says. And there's when you're writing drama, it's quite fun writing a character who is saying something that's the opposite of how they're actually feeling.
Okay. Did you get to help the producers choose the actors?
They showed us the auditions, but to be honest, by the time we saw that, they had basically made up their minds. I mean, they are so good at what they do. They chose just the most wonderful actors that we could ever have imagined. So it didn't really matter that we weren't there in the early part of that process because we kind of we just completely fell in love with them as soon as we saw them.
How many times did you read Malory Towers before you started to write the script?
Now, I cannot answer that question because I read it so many times when I was a child. I've got no idea. I mean, it's one of those ones that I don't know about you, but I have favourite books I go back to and I go back to. And so I must have read it, you know, the whole series kind of 10 or 15 times when I was a kid. And then I you know, put it down for maybe, you know, 20 or slightly more years. And then I came back to it as an adult and I read it, you know, once very quickly, going, oh my goodness, I remember that. No, is that what they did? Goodness. And then following that, I went through it very, and with Sasha, who I write with, we went through it very, very carefully. So we must have read it another 10 or 15 times in the process of writing it.
Have you always liked Enid Blyton?
I've always been a massive, massive fan of Enid Blyton. Yes, I read every book I could get my hands on.
Okay. Who is your favourite character in the book?
Obviously, I love Daryl. I think Mary Lou is a really lovely character as well. Because you do just fall in love with her, and she always tries her absolute best. And she's always kind of trying to do the right thing. And I think that's really winning. So I would say that in the books, Daryl and Mary Lou are the ones you're rooting for.
Why do you like script writing?
Oh, it's because I get to tell stories and live inside my head. And, you know, when I was growing up, I remember reading Enid Blyton and thinking, wow, you know, these are so great. I can't imagine ever being able to come up with something like this. And now, you know, however many years down the line, it's such a joy every day to get up and think about stories and talk about stories.
What are some of your top tips for people wanting to write a script?
I think the key thing is to have your central character have a problem that they need to overcome, and also to have something in themselves that they're fighting against. You know, with Daryl, it's her temper. From the very beginning of the show, you know that she's struggling with that, and she spends the whole series, the whole term, and, you know, her whole time at the school, if you go on to read the rest of the books, trying to overcome that flaw in herself. So and Gwen, you know, is the same. She's got a flaw. So that will be the key thing that I would say. Give them a problem, and give them a problem within themselves as well that they're trying to struggle with.
Why are you on the set of Mallory Towers?
I was really lucky because we shot the interiors out in Canada, in Toronto, where I'd never been before. And we shot the exteriors down in Devon and Cornwall. Which are places that I have been to, but I hadn't been to those specific locations.
We can't wait to visit the sea pool in Devon. What other TV shows have you written?
I wrote a show called Father Brown, a daytime detective drama, fun. And Sasha and I did another adaptation, a novel called The Moonstone by Wilkie Collins, who was a Victorian novelist. So there's two, and I've done things like EastEnders and Casualty. So I got my training on those BBC big continuing dramas.
Is there going to be another series of Mallory Towers?
Well, we very, very much hope so. They've seen all the love that there's been for series one, so we very much hope that we'll be able to build on that.
Thank you for joining us.
It's been a delight. Thank you for having me.
Find out more about Daryl, Mary Lou and Gwendolyn, the first series of Mallory Towers is on BBC iPlayer now.
Hi, Lockdown Podcast TV saluter.
Hi.
That's some Danish language. We learnt some Danish on Duolingo. Activity this week is learning a new language. Go to duolingo.com to learn hundreds of new languages. Here's a little cute clue of who's next.
接下来我们有大卫 Wallins.
Next up on the show, we have part one of our interview with actor, comedian and writer David Walliams. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, Zoe.
We are completely obsessed with books on the lockdown show. What were your favourite books as a child?
Oh, my favourite books as a child. Well, I liked Stick of the Dump by Clive King. Have you read that one?
I think but Mummy has, I think.
Oh, okay. More grown-ups have read it than kids these days. I don't know, but I like that one a lot. I thought that was a really lovely story.
Okay.
And I also love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl.
When
I was smaller, I loved the Dr. Seuss books because my dad used to read some to me, and I remember Green Eggs and Ham quite a lot.
Oh, I love that one.
But I like them all, and I've been trying to read them all again now, and I'm just so in love with his illustrations and his words. I just think he's so special, Dr. Seuss.
What inspired you to become a writer?
Well, I don't think you become a writer unless you like reading books. I liken it if you wanted to write songs, but you'd never heard music, it would be hard, wouldn't it? So I think your love for writing really comes out of a love for reading. And so that's something that developed for me when I was a kid. And I like the challenge of it. I like the starting with the blank page and then thinking, how am I going to fill this? And because my stories go all over the place, you know, I've got stories set in the future, stories set in the past, stories set in the present day, surreal stories, sad stories, funny stories. I always think, wow, the only limit is my imagination because I'm not writing a series of books. You know, I don't have to follow any particular pattern or anything. I can just come up with, if the idea is good enough, and I think I can write it. Luckily, so far, the readers have come on that journey with me. So I love the process of it, and I love trying to be as imaginative as possible.
We love the TV adaptations of your books. Are there any more planned?
There are some planned, and there's also a few of my book titles that are now being developed as films, but these things take a long time, and so especially films, you know, it takes a long time for scripts to be written and agreed, and obviously right now nothing much is getting made in the realms of television and film. So Bad Dad is being developed, so that might be the next one, and Awful Auntie as well, and Demon Dentist. So there's a few of my books now that haven't been adapted, so I'm hoping they might be. And World's Worst Children might be a cartoon series one day. So we'll see what happens.
What are you writing at the moment?
Well, I've just finished writing The World's Worst Parents, which is a new book in the World's Worst series. And that's going to be out, I think, in about 5 or 6 weeks, just in time for the start of the summer holidays. Although I say that, time is quite meaningless now, isn't it? I
mean,
when does school end? When the holidays begin? No one knows. But at the moment, I'm just putting the very finishing touches to that. It's all been written, but I'm just looking at all the illustrations and the design. Then I'm writing a picture book, and I'm also writing a new novel for the that'll probably come out in the autumn. I've got plenty to do. I've got to use my time wisely because I've got lots of what I call homework to do.
We absolutely love Raj. Who are your favourite characters in your books or the ones you've enjoyed writing the most?
Well, actually, the villains are really fun to write because villains are very important to stories. Because if you don't have the villains, you don't really have a story because the heroes only really react into what the villain is doing. You know, I always think, if you think about Harry Potter, without Voldemort, Harry Potter is just having a really lovely day at school. You need the baddies. So I actually enjoy writing the baddies because they're sort of the most flamboyant characters in a lot of ways. And also, I try and make my baddies funny if I can as well. Like Bert and Berg, I make them a little bit buffoonish or something. And I think that can add to the enjoyment of them.
Stay tuned for part two of our interview with David Walliams, where we find out what Simon Cowell is really like. We join Granddad in the garden to take the lockdown quiz. How do you feel about taking the quiz?
I feel fine, except that I'm deaf and I know nothing.
There's a leaderboard. Lottie Newton and author Ross Welford are on 2 points. BBC Blue Peter gardener Lee Connolly has 3 points. And BBC Radio Kent DJ Phil Harrison is at the top of the leaderboard with 5 points. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What TV programme includes Ross, Rachel, Phoebe, Chandler, Monica and Joey?
I'm sorry, I haven't a clue.
Friends. In episode 5 of the Lockdown Podcast Show, what song does Amber T sing? A. Rock, B. TikTok or C. Diamonds?
Diamonds?
Wrong, it's TikTok. Who wins in Series 1 of Race Across the World?
I don't know.
Elaine and Tony.
Tony.
Who is the author of Geek Girl? Clue, she was on the show.
Author of what?
Geek Girl. She was on the show.
I have a short memory, I'm sorry.
Holly Smale. She once wore a dress made of meat and organised the One World Together concert at the start of lockdown. Who is she?
Bob Geldof.
Lady Gaga. I'm sorry, Grandad, but you got 0 points.
I'm not surprised.
The activity this week is learning languages. Do you know any languages, Grandad?
9.
9 languages?
What languages?
I don't speak many languages. I have 1 or 2 words in German, but it's over 60 years since I was in Germany and I've forgotten most of the words that I knew. And the ones that I knew were only the ones that you use in the Gasthof, which is a pub.
Oh, OK. Sorry you're at the bottom of the leaderboard.
I don't think I'll understand the questions, let alone the answers. Why didn't we have a run-through first?
Because you can't, Grandad. It's a quiz. Thank you for joining us. Now we are going over to Connor in Petswood, who's going to talk about gaming. Hi Connor, what are you doing?
Well, I'm in an intense tank fight.
When you're on Roblox and you're talking to someone from another country, how do you use Google Translate?
You just do Alt and V or Control and V to copy and paste it on Roblox.
Okay.
You can put it in, say it in their language.
Okay, that's interesting. What languages have you used?
Greek, Gaelic, Russian and German mainly.
Okay. What games are you playing at the moment, Connor?
There's a warship game.
Okay.
And there's a tank game, which I'm playing right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're pretty fun.
Thank you for joining us over the last 8 weeks.
Thanks, Zoe, for letting me be on the podcast. It was really fun being on it and talking about everything that I've done.
Now we have part two of our interview with David Walliams. What is Simon Cowell like?
I'd say the thing that people don't realise is he's always about 4 or 5 hours late. And you think I might be joking, but he really is about 4 or 5 hours late every day for work. Sometimes it stretches to about 8 hours late. So if I was writing an autobiography now, I could probably call it Waiting for Simon, because mainly what I'd have to do is just, I'm told to be somewhere at like midday and I'm there.
Yeah.
ready to go, and the audience are ready to go, and the cameras are ready to go, and Anton Decker and everything. And then he turns up about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then he's in no rush to start. He wants to have a chat, have a meeting, have a cigarette, have something to eat. And he's just going, we've been here for 5 hours. Can we please begin? And so I'd say the most annoying thing about him is his timekeeping. But he's never going to change, so it's best not to get too worked up about it. Because I think some people are just like that, aren't they? Some people are just always late. And he's just someone who's always late.
Did you know that you mentioned in one of my SATs practice exam papers, not for Little Britain, but for swimming? We know you have swum the Channel and the Thames for comic relief. Do you have any other swims planned?
Well, I didn't know I was in your SATs test. No, I'm not really told about things like that. Well, it's very nice to be talked about in that kind of way. Do I have any more challenges? I don't right now, no. I swam the Channel over 10 years ago and the Thames about eight or nine years ago, I think. Mm. And since then, I've had sort of shoulder problems and back problems and this kind of stuff. So I wouldn't be that wise to start embarking on another great adventure. So for now, I'm leaving that to younger and fitter people.
What do you see when you're swimming in the Channel?
I didn't see very much, to be honest, because you can see maybe a metre, a couple of metres, and there wasn't a lot to look at. You know, so if you saw a crisp packet float by, it would be a major event, and you'd be like, oh, wow, that's exciting, crisp packet. But I didn't see many fish or anything. I saw some jellyfish and seaweed, and also there's some sort of rubbish in there, not just like man-made rubbish, you know, like, I don't know, bits of wood and leaves and all that sort of stuff. So there wasn't a lot to look at, but it was a really fantastic day. And my mum gets seasick, but she came out for the whole day on a boat. She was out for about 12 hours, but she spent the whole day lying down in the bowels of the ship, not being able to see anything. And she was sick all day. And the end of it, I said, oh, Mum, were you okay? And she went, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. So, very sweet. That's nice to have a mum like that who's willing to throw up for 12 hours and still not complain about it.
This question is from Lottie Newton. Where did you get the inspiration for all your different characters?
Well, they all come from different places. Sometimes it's based on someone you meet. Sometimes it's purely out of your imagination, or perhaps someone tells you a story. They don't necessarily, they're not telling you, here's an idea for one of your stories. They're just telling you something that happened in their life, and that intrigued them in some way. So I always think for like budding writers, they should keep their eyes and ears open, because you never know when a good idea might come along. And it's not often when someone says, oh, I've got an idea for a story. That's never normally an idea that I feel is going to work for me. It's more likely that I just overhear something, or I see a little something on the news, or I meet somebody and then my mind starts whirring. I think it's about, you know, ideas are like seeds, and from that seed, the story is like a tree. So you're just given the starting point normally, and that's the seed. Or you find that somewhere floating around, or you hear people on a bus talking and you think, oh, actually, that might be a good starting point for a story. But then normally it's up to you to actually, you know, grow that tree. That's the hard bit. But obviously, if you've got a good idea, then at least you've got a starting point for a story.
Where can listeners to the show hear you reading your books at the moment in lockdown?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing this thing at 11 o'clock every morning. It's called Audio Elevenses, and I put it out on my Twitter and Instagram, but also it goes to the World of David Walliams page, and sort of there's a free audio story every day, because I know that a lot of people are at home, and and I guess a lot of parents are homeschooling their children, and they're quite grateful, I imagine, the parents to have 15 minutes when they can go make a cup of tea or go to the loo or whatever they need to do. I put those out every day, and I think people have been enjoying them. So have a listen if you want. We put all of the world's worst children out there. It's weird because no one knew how long lockdown was going to be, and we're now doing bad dad stories. Doing episodes of Bad Dad.
Mummy wants to know, are you planning to make any more Little Britons?
Well, we might do. We haven't decided yet, but we might do. Right now, nothing much is happening in the world, is it, in terms of stage shows and films and TV series. So we'll have to take stock when all of this is over.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
That's okay, Zoe. Great work with the show. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
And very nice to speak to you. I hope this
Thank
has been
you. Fun.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you to David Williams for making our final show very special. We need to say a big thank you to all the people who have helped us over the last 9 weeks. To the listeners, like Lottie, who went back to the 1400s when she did her family tree activity. To Kate, who is aged 50, who discovered Emma Carroll's books. And to everyone who has been taking part in the activities, from truffle making to making your own escape room, making music and mini books for the British Library. We need to thank Connor for giving us great gaming suggestions, George in his greenhouse, Lottie for taking the lockdown quiz and giving us a great book review, Selena for teaching us how to research our family tree, and for Nate, who's told us a bit about his family tree. Great books, reviews and suggestions from Izzy and Sophia, Monty, Otto and Daisy, fab recipes from Flo and Chef Murray, Hope, Elise, Finley and Harris from telling us about their sport challenges, Josh for his amazing music, the Black Shadows for their amazing music, and Grandad for taking the lockdown quiz. And thanks to all the authors who have given us their time, Michelle Harrison, Alex Bell, Tom Palmer, Holly Smale, Frank Cottrell Boyce, Ross Welford, Emma Carroll, Simon Chignani, David Williams, SF Saeed, Robin Stevens, and the British Library. Our favourite gardeners, Blue Peters, Lee Connolly and Tom Hart Dyke. Alex Horn for the brilliant tasks. Phil Harrison for his beatboxing and being the ultimate quiz champion. John Pienaar for reading the very funny Smelly Troll story. Lizzie Arnold for telling us about how she trained for the Olympics. Rachel Flowerday for writing Mallory Towers. Amber T for letting us use her music. David Lawrence and the Young Voices Choir, the choir from West Bridgeford who sang Happy Birthday to everyone in lockdown. Izzy Clifton from Hetty Feather and Scarlett Cecil from the RSC Matilda. Please check out the other episodes, they will stay live throughout the summer. We hope you enjoyed the show.
Bye.
Bye.